Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. Defense the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. So we throw it down on this Twisted Tuesday edition of the program. And the Golden Eagles are your basketball tournament champions. They win by five. Travis Diener comes in off the bench and smokes a million-dollar game-winning three-point shot. And the veteran presence of him being on the bench and a veteran presence of the plays that he made in the final moments and in the final championship points of the Elam ending of this basketball game this evening was epic. They won $1 million. Congratulations to the Golden Eagles. Congratulations to Golden Eagles backers that laid the 4.5. And congratulations to Sideline Cancer. Congratulations to Sideline Cancer backers that cashed at +5.5 as the numbers started to climb before tip-off. We really enjoyed the tournament. We'll recap it a little bit. And Sideline Cancer came a long way only to fall apart, man. A couple of empty possessions. And before you knew it, the Marquette Golden Eagle alumni were celebrating and cashing that $1 million. Sent by Zell. So Major League Baseball is set to start a little more than a week away. And the New York Mets, I believe it was on last night's show that I told you I was willing to bet money that the Texas Rangers are all going to get coronavirus and that in the National League, weird things will happen to the New York Mets, whether it be COVID, whether it be injuries, whether it be their plane gets lost in a Bermuda Triangle or whatever the hell it is. Weird things just happened to the New York Mets. And tonight, Jacob DeGrom had to leave their intra-squad inning with tightness. Tightness and stiffness is what it's all about in New York City right now because Aaron Judge has got stiffness and tightness in his neck as well. George Kurtz is going to step up, and then we're going to talk pucks. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk basketball. We're going to talk MLS soccer. We're breaking it down. Big man on campus will join us in level two with some Italian soccer picks. Those games continue to skyrocket over the number. A lot of stuff to bang on here this evening. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Late night, I'm Renzi. Let's do this thing. George Kurtz Will step up and in and join us a little bit later on. Big Man on Campus will join us as well. Big Man's a regular on the late night program. George Kurtz is not, although Colonel Kurtz is often up listening to the program. And normally George Kurtz joins us on Tuesday's edition of Game Time Decisions. But of course, Kurtz referees in the ever important Long Island Roller Hockey League. Now, of course, we thought it was ice hockey, and we were hugely and massively disappointed when we found out that it was roller hockey. But on the other hand, George Kurtz does get paid to officiate these roller hockey games. So we'll get the update from Kurtz. We'll see how the Long Island Roller Hockey League went this evening. And we'll see what he thinks about some Major League Baseball teams and stories, including Aaron Judge getting called out in the New York market before the season has already started. And, you know, you can check my tweets over the last couple of weeks talking about the New York Yankees. And, you know, one thing with the Yankees, they're a fragile baseball team in which they seem to get hurt all the time. And I don't know if they have bad luck. I don't know if it's a New York thing, because between the Mets and the Yankees, these guys seemingly have like 150 injuries a year combined, all right? Yet the Yankees always find a way, you know, just sort of to persevere despite all their injuries. But it's only a 60-game season this year. There's not a lot of room for error. And, you know, we were talking about the New York Mets. Jacob deGrom leaves. And the plan for DeGrom was to pitch a couple innings tonight. And they have an exhibition game this weekend against the New York Yankees. The Yankees and the Mets. And I guess DeGrom was going to go. And then so then he would have been ready for the opener next week. You know, forget about coronavirus. And I thought, and listen, it wasn't just, you know, me, but a lot of baseball people sort of predicted that pitchers were going to get injured in this situation, in which they had already sort of started to prepare for the season before it shut down. Now they're doing it again. They're only going to get 12 starts out of this. If they start every baseball game, they're going to start 12 times, 60 games, five pitchers, 12 starts, if everything falls into place for them. So, you know, listen, we don't know much about DeGrom right now, but this is a New York Met team that's already lost Noah Syndergaard. So the basketball tournament concluded this evening, and it's too bad that it did. This basketball tournament is like the last dance. It's like, oh man, give us more. Really? It's over? Come on, man. You're telling me that when there's not, you know, there's no more games. This is it. It's not a best two of three. And I almost think actually that they should play like a best two of three. Or like the higher seed, sort of like they're gonna do in the NBA. It almost seems to me like for all the work that's put in, that these teams deserve more than just one game. I mean, hell, who wouldn't want to see Sideline Cancer and the Golden Eagles play again? Great game, classic game this evening. 78-73 was your final score. And if you don't know what the Elam ending is, you probably do, but you just don't know what it's called. And the Elam ending is what they used in the NBA All-Star game this year. And I remember when they announced it, a lot of people were confused and said, oh, you know, I don't know, this is dumb. What the hell are they doing this for? Why are you doing this? Yet they've used this format in the basketball tournament for a couple of years now. And it's a very interesting format. So, of course, in the NBA All-Star game, you remember as a tribute to Kobe Bryant, they added 24 points. So they took the score and whatever team was leading, then you add 24 points to the team that's leading, and that's the new target score. Whoever reaches that target wins the game outright. And they did it in the NBA All-Star game, and if you guys remember, it was off the freaking hook in the NBA All-Star game this year. People were like, man, you got to do that every year now. And then people are even now saying that the NBA has to do this for every game. That the NBA has to do this for every game, the Elam ending. So in the basketball tournament, the Elam ending, they add 8 points. They add 8 points. So at the four-minute mark of the fourth quarter. So basically, it was 70-70. It was a tie game. So you got yourself a tie game, and it's 70-70. So basically, it was whoever whoever gets to 78 first wins the basketball game now, and $1 million. Normally it's $2 million, but this year, due to the pandemic, they only had half as many teams enter the tournament, so it was only $1 million. And I say only, $1 million is $1 million. Now it depends on the rosters. You know, some teams had 7 guys, some guys had 10 guys, some guys had 9 guys. You know, basically you're getting $100,000. Some guys are getting $110,000. Sideline Cancer would have gotten $75,000 each because they were donating a portion of it to the fight against cancer. So it's real money, man. I don't care who you are. And especially for these guys who, you know, played college ball, now they're playing overseas. Some of them are making more money than others. Yet $100,000 is $100,000. And it's pretty cool. It's already in their bank account. It was immediately deposited into their bank account, sent by Zelle right after the basketball game. So these guys get to get blasted tonight in the bubble. One last night together in the bubble. They're going to get all wasted. And then in the morning, they get to burst that bubble. They get to leave. And they got $100,000 more in their bank accounts right now, and deservedly so. Listen, you know, Sideline Cancer was a great story, man, and it was heartbreaking. It was like, you know, I think like America was pulling for these guys tonight. And, you know, the story of the Griffith family and losing, you know, the woman lost her husband to pancreatic cancer, and what the story of the team is all about. You know, it was a great story. And yeah, it just would have been super cool to see them win. But, you know, life's not a Disney movie. And it's nothing against the Marquette guys. The Marquette guys are good guys. You know what I mean? They lost in the final last year. So they went through the misery that Sideline Cancer went through. But it was 70-70. They went into the Elam factor. So it was the first one to 78. And Sideline Cancer had been great in these situations throughout this tournament. Except Marquette weren't playing around. And Marquette got a quick bucket right out of the gate. Boom. So they were up 72-70. Then Sideline Cancer hits a three. Bam, 73-72, Sideline Cancer. And you're like, ooh, we got something going on here. We got something going on here. And then there was just empty possessions. I believe the Golden Eagles went to the line. And they were at 75. And it was 75-73. And Coach Charlie Parker, and we'll talk about this with Big Man on Campus, because he knows Coach. Coach Charlie Parker told them, and Fran Fraschilla brought it up. He even said, he goes, Parker just told them he doesn't want the three here. Don't force the three. Just take the two and tie the game at 75-75. Right? But no. And they had a great play cut. And I don't know what the white dude was doing. That guy never played like all tournament. And then suddenly this guy's on the floor, like in this critical moment. They get him the ball. He's taking it to the rack. He could have, like, you know, initiated the contact. He would have been fouled. He had a layup. He just had to aggressively take it. It was like, basically, it's one of these deals in the Elam factor where you're trying to stop the other team. But at the same point in time, Marquette didn't care, right? Marquette's up 75-73. They know we get the ball. We hit a three. We win. So whatever, dude, you want to take your two, just give me the damn ball because we're going to win with the next possession anyways. So the bucket was there for the taking, and for some reason he kicked it out, and it was a bad shot. You could see the coach's Sideline Cancer was exasperated. He was like, I just told you. Like, he basically said, you could see his face like, oh, and then it just set up. It set up like as you would expect. And then you just knew Travis Diener was going to come up big. And it wasn't just a three-point shot that he hit. He made two plays inbounds that were just like, you know, it was just, you needed like serious vision. It's funny because they paid him $100,000 and he really didn't do anything. As you saw, he was getting drunk all the time in the bubble, this guy. He was getting drunk. Like, Diener barely played in this tournament, but I tell you what, he earned his $100,000 tonight, didn't he? Colonel Kurtz will step up and at Sports Rage Late Night. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Basketball tournament's not the only tournament going on. MLS is back, continues as well, and so do the upsets, the craziness, the overs. The overs keep hitting, underdogs keep cashing tickets. Pretty much everything that we predicted is happening, except I'm betting against it all the time because I'm a moron, because I'm an idiot, because I'm a jackass. I'm looking for other words. Idiot, moron, jackass, stupid, hard-headed, stubborn, and everything else in between. But we always talk about this in this right now, in this era that we're in of sports. You can expect upsets. Like we've seen it even in soccer, without the fans, the home field advantage doesn't mean as much. And we're going to see the same thing right now in North American sports. Suddenly there's no home court. Some teams are uninterested. Some teams are galvanized by this. There's just a lot of unpredictability about everything. And we're seeing this right now in the MLS as well. It's an unpredictable league at the best of times, guys. All right, the MLS, it really is. But we're seeing right now, and I expect this to happen in baseball. We've been talking a lot about this all the time. Oh, there's going to be upsets and, oh, you know what, this team and that team could be a sleeper and this team could be a dark horse. Well, it's all true, and we're seeing it right now. We're seeing it right now. Guys, Orlando City of the MLS, these guys have won 11 of their last 61 games coming into this tournament. Think about that. They played 61 matches. They had won 11 of them. All right? Here they are right now. They're 2-0 in this tournament. Basically, Orlando City have advanced. Like, they are going to be moving on. They've got, like, 6 points. They got a maximum of 6 points after two games. They're a terrible side. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? People sort of thought they were a trendy pick just because they were playing at home, but they're terrible. But here they are. They're 2-0. NYFC, who I knew were overrated, but I didn't think they were this overrated. NYFC are now 0-2 in this tournament. They were like the third, fourth choice. They were the fourth selection favorite to win this thing. LAFC were favorites. Atlanta United were the second choice. The Seattle Sounders were the third choice. And then it was New York, and I think then it's Toronto at 14-1. New York was 10-1. Well, the Seattle Sounders are sucking, all right? The Seattle Sounders are one of the most consistent franchises in the MLS. And here they are right now. They're on the verge of getting bounced from this tournament. They've got 1 point through two matches. NYFC, big-time favorites. Same thing. They've got 0 points through two matches. Orlando blow. Orlando have 6 points through two matches. It's you know, it's been a crazy tournament, and I'm getting killed. And I'm not just saying I'm getting killed, but I did so well with the basketball tournament, and it's been overshadowed by my crappy MLS picks. Basically, whatever I do in the MLS, like, something weird is going to happen. Like, basically, I've got a draw, and the ball will go off the crossbar. It's like one of those deals. If I need it to stay under, they're going to score in the 99th minute.
If I need a goal in extra time, I need a goal in extra time, they only play 4 minutes of extra time. If I don't need a goal, they add like 12 minutes of extra time. I don't know. Like I have no idea. Like this league, like honestly, is going to be the death of me, man. Like this league is it's tough. It's tough. It's fun. It's, listen, there's games and they promise games. They're delivering games. We wanted games back, but nobody ever said, nobody ever promised that we were going to win these games when they came back. But wow, it's been a wild ass tournament. And for the most part right now, it's been an overfest, man. It's just, it's been an overfest. Like if you go back, actually to a TFC DC United, game goes over 2-2. LAFC Houston 3-3, game goes over. Portland and the LA Galaxy, depending on what number you played. If you laid the juice to stay under, it was under 3.5, but a lot of people played it over 2.5 and laid the juice to the over. All right. Chicago and Seattle was 2.5. It goes over. Orlando, New York FC was 2.5. Sails over, 4 goals there. And Philadelphia, Miami, 2.5. 2.5. That game goes over the number. It's an overfest. It's an overpalooza in this stuff. It's an overpalooza in this tournament since since basically like the weekend. It all sort of started to change on Saturday night, because you know the tournament was playing to the under. It was actually basically like free money to the under, except the tables have turned. The tables have turned. Man, it's been like, it really just has been a crazy, we're seeing right now Philadelphia. Will Philadelphia be like the one favorite that actually wins? I got to tell you too, Inter Miami actually have decent players, but they just haven't played together really before. Yet they've had really bad luck in this tournament so far. But I'm sure everybody's shedding a tear right now, right? For David Beckham, their owner. The Vancouver Whitecaps. The Whitecaps haven't played. When was the last time the Whitecaps played? Like, it basically, you know what I mean? Like, this tournament, it's hard to keep up with this. It's like, I don't know, did they play? I don't know, it's hard. Like, did they play last week? The Whitecaps are up against the San Jose Earthquakes tomorrow night. It's disappointing that the tournament is gone right now. Just because it was nice, you know. Listen, I bet on Chinese basketball, and I'm getting pretty good at it, actually. If you do your research, you can win in China. And I wish Ricky Sanders was here right now, because we would thank him for going 4-0 last night on this program. And we've got some more picks tonight in the Korean League. Listen, the Korean League isn't, it's not as if though every time we've laid it down, it's been a slam dunk with the Korean Baseball League. But last night, it was nice. We put the work into the games. Ricky Sanders joined us, gave us some like detailed breakdowns of the Korean Baseball League, and we torched it. We went 4-0 last night. All right, let's bring in right now. A man who I don't know if he's applied right now, because I know 11 Major League Baseball umpires have opted out of umping this year. But George Kurtz is back from the Long Island Roller Hockey League. George, nice to see you safely made it back. How you doing tonight, Kurtz?
No, Gabe, I've been practicing my strike three call all night, buddy. 11 umpires going. I can do this, man. I can call somebody out on strikes.
Yeah, you know what? 11 umpires, and unfortunately, I don't think Angel Hernandez is one of them.
Hernandez, how about Laz Diaz? He can go too.
Joe West can go. Yeah, no, Joe West has already stated that he's not, right? Like Joe West. And if anybody really should, it would actually be Joe West, to be honest. But so how did the games go tonight, Kurtz? What were the final scores of the games you did?
I did a kids game. That day was like 9-0, 11-0. Got a forfeit, so it's nice to be paid to do nothing. And then did two college league games, man.
two college league games after. How competitive are the college games?
If they were the college game games, I mean, you can think about it. They're college. They're all obviously in college, and they run like there's no tomorrow. You know, they skate like, you know, there's no tomorrow, and they just bang into everything because the skill level is just not there. Maybe one or two guys truly knows how to play, but they just skate until they hit the wall or they hit a body. Over and over again, you see this. It's like, oh my god. Yeah, way too much testosterone, and their girlfriends are watching. So you're getting a lot of dust ups, little scraps, and stuff like that. One game was a complete blowout. The other game was better, but when I say better, I think the final score was 6-1. So that was the better game.
Let me ask you. So what do you get like per game? Like, what do you charge per game? Is it by night? How does the pay structure work for you?
Right now it's by game, but because of COVID, he's spreading the games out more. They still don't go out. Usually, like one game would end, next game starts. Let's go. You know, get the hell out of here. We'll start the next game. Now he's spreading them out. So a bunch of us are saying, well, now you got to pay us by the hour then. Because we're hanging out for a half hour, 45 minutes. You know, that sucks for us. You know, we usually get paid by the game. Now we want to get paid by the hour. He says he's contemplating it. Or contemplate very hard.
Yeah, well, especially in COVID, you guys should be getting a little bit more. So what is it? What do you get per game for this then?
I get 35 per game.
Like 35 per game. So basically, it's not bad. You're getting $35 per game. You're getting paid to exercise, in other words, Kurtz, right?
As long as you can take the grief. If you're someone who gets upset when someone calls you, you know, you can. I'm sure you can think of the names your refs get called, stuff like that. If you get upset by that, then don't do it. If you can let it bounce off you and know what you have to say.
So you don't mind if the players bounce off a bit? You don't mind if the players bounce off to you a bit?
As long as you don't get personal, you know, as long as you don't get personal, doesn't bother me. I might miss a call. I'm not perfect. I'll be the first to tell you I might miss a call. Don't drop the F-bombs. When you say you effing S-suck, then I'll have to bang you. But other than that, no, play the game. I used to yell too.
So I'd like to hear some of the things that are said in this league.
You played. You know exactly what was said.
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, when I played, I'm old, so I played a long time ago, and it wasn't pretty, the things that were said. All right, we'll get into some Major League Baseball with Kurtz. Aaron Judge hurt. Jacob DeBrom leaves the inter-squad scrimmage tonight. Baseball's back in a little more than a week. Sports Rage continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night rolls on. I am Renzi. George Kurtz kicking it with us right now. Sports Grid's very own big man on campus will join us in level two of the program. So, George, the New York Mets, of course, already lost Noah Syndergaard before the season even started. He has to have Tommy John surgery. But without being stated, their staff was still a pretty impressive one, especially after they picked up Marcus Stroman last year. You know, they have Porcello, they have Mats. You know, I think they can stack up pretty much against anybody when you look at their pitching, with the exception of a couple of ball clubs out there. But, you know, they really can't afford to lose anybody else, and of all people, to potentially lose. Now, I don't want to be overly dramatic. We don't know the extent of this right now. But Jacob DeGrom leaves tonight after an inning of the inter-squad game. And from what I understand, the plan was for him to pitch a couple of innings. Then he was going to pitch this weekend, actually, against the Yankees in an exhibition game. And then he was going to be ready to go on the 24th against the Atlanta Braves. But this really is the New York Mets' worst situation and worst nightmare if DeGrom's got problems right now. And in a 60-game season, if he's not ready to go, he misses a couple of starts, they're screwed.
Yeah, you could. I mean, if he only misses two starts, that could be 1/6 of what he was going to pitch, right? I mean, every starting pitcher, you're talking 12 starts, maybe 13 if the off days work in your favor there, and you don't have rainouts and other stuff. And if you're missing 2 of 13, 2 of 12, 1-6, I mean, the Mets would be toast. I mean, they really would be. I have a friend of mine, Gabe, big Mets fan, talks to me all the time about we talk sports. And on the way home, you know, he's just blowing up my phone. He's every F thing you can think of about because DeGrom got hurt. I can't believe this, man. This always happens to the Mets. First it's Thor, then it's DeGrom. We catch no breaks. We're going to sell a team to Jennifer Lopez and A-Rod. They're going to screw it up even further. It was the funniest text rant I've ever seen. But it's just great to see him just let it out. Met fans, they really don't have any luck.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, so I can sympathize, sort of. But at least the Mets have sort of had some success over the years. The Buffalo Bills have not. But I was explaining that to people. The pessimistic nature of the New York Met fan is like none other. Like the Mets could be up 12 with 12 games to go, and Met fans will be worried. Oh, we're going to blow it. We're going to blow it for sure. Something's going to happen. It's like, God, you got a 12-game lead with 12 games left. Don't worry. And Met fans are going to get concerned. But I brought it up, and I was talking about this just last night. I said, listen, if anything weird will happen, or a team's going to get sick or just like have weird injuries and stuff, it'll be the Mets. It just is, George. You know it. You know, you're a lifelong New Yorker, even though you're a Yankee fan. You've seen their misery firsthand. But it really is uncanny, isn't it? Like, anytime anything starts to look pretty good for them, it's almost like people's real life. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, a couple of good things happen to you and you think your life is going well, and then you just get screwed over. You know what I mean? Like, you're right back to where you started again. And the Mets are like that, George. Like, the Mets is like, hey, look, man. Oh, Cepeda is going to be able to be the DH. This is great. Everyone's all happy with the Mets. All right, we're going to finally have Cepeda in the lineup. Boom, Jacob DeGrom gets hurt.
It's almost like, you know, we all have that friend or that couple where everything goes right. You know, they don't step in dog poo, they step in gold. The Mets step in dog poo every time. It's just what they do. It's why when you and I have talked on other shows about when we make the joke about, you know, there's a team where the whole team was going to come down, the whole starting rotation was going to come down with COVID, it would be the Mets. Yeah. We even said the Mets, not on purpose, but the Mets were the first team that came to mind as of a team that would have bad luck. You know, so it is the Mets. Listen, I hope DeGrom is healthy. I truly do. He's one of these, might be the best pitcher in the game here. DeGrom for the Mets, Cole for the Yankees. Nice little talking point there for New York fans. I hope he's healthy. It is back tightness. It could be. He slept wrong last night, whatever it might be, tweaked it a little bit. Hopefully not a big deal. But if he has to miss a couple of starts and the season's a little over a week away, that's just brutal for the Mets.
Well, essentially, look, the season starts for the Mets next Friday. Right? And I don't know, after this, he pitched one inning tonight. Let's say he can't pitch this weekend, George, against the Yankees in this exhibition game. How the hell is he starting on Friday? When's he going to pitch? He just pitched one inning. And I mean, if he does pitch, you know, he's going to be on a serious pitch count. I'll tell you that. And they can't risk this. You cannot risk this guy. As you stated, he's arguably the best pitcher in the game. Like, you can't risk this guy's arm right now. The Mets are – and listen, I want to bet on the Mets. I like the Mets. But the problem is, I'm a realist, and I know in a situation like this, the Mets will have bad things happen to them. And they're already getting, you know, bad things happen to them. And – if they struggle out of the gate, they're screwed. You look at the back end of the Mets schedule. The Mets play their final 10 games against the Braves, 3 games against the Braves, 3 games against the Rays, 4 games against the Nationals. So they better rack up some wins early. So let's talk about another injury plagued team, because I tell you what, Kurtz, all the talk of, ooh, the Mets are always injured. I'm starting to think there's a dark cloud over the Bronx. And in fact, it's always cloudy in the Bronx, too. So what am I saying? It's always dark in the Bronx. Every time I've ever been to a Yankee game, it's rained. It's like the Giants. I swear to God. Like, I was at the Meadowlands every night. Like, it rained every night. But listen, the Yankees have had their own little weird curse thing going on recently with weird injuries.
Yeah, the Yankees... It's, you know, Aaron Judge can't stay healthy. I think he's proven that over the years. I'm going to find it very interesting what the Yankees do when he's due for that long-term contract. Not the arbitration years, but the long-term deal. If he can only play 110 games a season, it seems like, before he gets hurt again. You know, he's one of those big guys who just can't seem to stay healthy. Baseball may not be the sport for him. Stanton, we know he's a train wreck, right? Tanaka it's unfortunate, but he gets hit in the head. You know, there'll be other injuries as well. They're a deep team. So they can afford it somewhat, and you could make the argument they're a better team without Tanaka pitching if they're going to go with one of their better youngsters, Clark, Garcia, and I could sort of buy that argument. But I don't know if they'll go that direction. I want to bring those guys up that quick, that fast. I'm starting to think more and more, Gabe, that Tampa Bay might be the team to beat in the East. They are. They're a good team. They know how to play this. Let's use a closer to start first, a couple of innings and go on from there. They'll play a different kind of baseball. They'll move runners over. They'll play the game the way it's supposed to be played, which may pay off in a 60-game season. And either way, the more I look at that central schedule, now you think about the Indians, White Sox, Twins, all good teams. Not as good as the Yankees. Probably not as good as the Rays either. But because of the schedule, it wouldn't shock me if either the Yankees or Rays don't make the playoffs. If those two wild cards come out of the Central because you're playing so many games against the Royals, against the Tigers, the Pirates in the other division. You know, it's just the schedule is, you know, the inequities of the schedule this year is going to pay off. That Braves, Mets, Nationals, Phillies, they're a good team too. That American League East schedule is not going to be fun. I think the Marlins are being a little undersold as well. They're not a playoff team, but they're not a pushover either.
Yeah, I agree with where you're going with that, actually. And we were talking earlier in the day on Game Time Decisions about this. And we had a guest, Donnie Wrightside, and he was giving us some of his Major League Baseball futures. And one of them was the Rays to win this division. The Rays are pretty trendy. They're plus 300 right now at FanDuel to win the American League East. I think they can. I don't know if they will, but I think they can. And I think like it should be basically a pick 'em, even though the Yankees are flashier. The Rays in a 60-game season, you know, they're a damn good baseball team. I get it why the Yankees are favorites. They're the New York Yankees. But it's a good point that you raised. Now, I'll tell you what. I like the Yankees under the 37.5 wins. I think, you know, there's not a lot of room for error there, especially with the Yankees, and it seems like they're always injured. And it's a very good point that you raised. I was attracted to that. It's plus 500, Kurtz. It's great, dude. The Yankees are like plus 850 or something to make the playoffs, George. That's crazy high. In a 60-game season in which anything can happen, I'm getting you get plus 500. You get plus 500 that the Yankees do not make the playoffs. Plus 500, Yankees don't make the playoffs. And it's a good point that you raise. Look, it's a regular playoff format, so there's two wild cards. And you know, Minnesota could win a division. Cleveland could win a ton of games this year. Same thing with in the West there, George, with the A's. The A's could eat up a wild card spot. The A's and Astros. Astros win a division. A's grab a wild card. Twins win a division. Indians grab a wild card. Yankees on the outside looking in. It could totally happen.
It's the schedule. If this was 162 games, things would equal out. The injuries, the Yankees depth, and they'll go out and make a move if they had to, it would pay off. In a 60-game season, it's a sprint, and the Yankees could get off to a slow start with their schedule. It's actually very possible. Their schedule gets easy at the end. If the Yankees can be 500, really, for the month of July, August, and they'll be sitting pretty because they should really clean up in the month of September, assuming we get that far, because the schedule lightens up drastically. But, you know, let's say if they get off to that slow start, you know, the youngsters aren't pitching well. Hap is just, you know, he's a home run machine. I don't know if they're going to be able to out-hit everybody. Remember, no DJ LeMahieu. He was their best hitter last year. Right now, he's not with the team. He's got COVID. We don't know when he's going to be back. Aroldis Chapman, the Yankees' strength is that bullpen. We don't know when he's going to be back. They have depth. Like I said, these injuries really wouldn't matter over 162 games. But over 60 games, they do matter because it weakens the team somewhat.
Talk about the New York Yankees win total. The Yankees win total over under 37.5, but it's shaded to the under right now. Under is minus 124 to under 37.5, and there's not a lot of room for error. And I'll tell you what, and you guys know I like the New York Mets, but the Mets win total is 32.5, George. That means they got to go six games over 500, bro. They got it. That means 32.5 means 33-27. I don't know, man. I don't know, George. Are the Mets really going to be six games over 500? They have a tough-ass schedule, dude. Like, I wouldn't make that bet. I think they go under, George.
I think they go under. I'm with you there.
Like, when you say 32.5, it's like, oh, 32. No, that's not there. You put it in perspective. It's six games over 500. 33-27. You got to be 33-27. And the Mets are playing the Yankees a bunch of times. They got a killer schedule, the Mets. They got a killer schedule. You know they're going to get injured. I think they're an underplay. I think both New York teams. Listen, if you took both New York baseball teams to go under the number, and I'm sorry to pick on you, New York, but if you took both teams to go under the number, the Mets under 32.5 and the Yankees under 37.5, you're going 1-1 at worst, and I think you can win both of them.
I agree. I think when you think about the Mets, I mean, let's say DeGrom's healthy to start the season. Their pitching staff looks okay. Stroman, Porcello, Mats, Waka lined up behind them, but there's no depth there. Any injury, they've already lost Thor. Any injury there, and listen, we're going DeGrom healthy. He's out there. This is all moot. They're done. But if there's any injury there, there's really nobody to really pick up the slack there. Are they going to take Lugo out of the bullpen and put him in the as a starter? That weakens that bullpen. That bullpen is their strength. Lugo, Wilson, Selman, Diaz, if he can bounce back. I know the team can hit. I have no doubt they'll hit. But I am worried about the pitching if injuries arise.
I wanted to get into some NHL hockey with George as well, but this show is just flying by this evening. We got George for a couple of more minutes on the other side. Big Man on Campus will join us in level two. We'll just get some quick puck talk in before we let George go. I want to start taking a look at the futures right now. The big key to me right now for the National Hockey League, guys, is coronavirus. I hate to be as straight to the point, but it's basically COVID. The NHL have done a lot of things right. I think it's dangerous that they're bringing players in on the 26th and then starting 5 days later. So they really have to have the players act in a responsible manner before they arrive in Toronto and Edmonton, respectively. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
George Kurtz kicking it with us up right now. First hour's just flown by here this evening. A couple of minutes left. I want to get into some hockey, but that'll have to wait for later in the week. We'll get George on game time decisions. NHL hockey begins August the 1st, and it's going to be crazy out of the gate. That's another thing. The NHL, they did a lot of things right, but they've done a few things wrong, and having teams play their first games in the playoffs is just like insane. it really is crazy. And especially when you throw in the fact that there's going to be best of five. I'll just say, George, the MLS tournament, it's been weird, man. There's been a ton of upsets. Bad teams are suddenly good. Good teams are bad. It really is real, George. I mean, we keep talking about it and how old baseball is going to be upside down and all that type of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, this stuff can, we're seeing it right now already. I swear, we're seeing it right now already in the MLS. We were talking about it happening in baseball as well. These five-game series could be really crazy. And get this, the last time the NHL had best-of-five series in the first round was 1986, all right? The winner of game one won all eight series, sweeping six of them. Imagine that, George.
Well, you said I think we're going to have a lot of crazy upsets here. I know in this play-in round, I like six of the eight series. I like the underdog. I don't like the favorite. I like the underdog going in. I know we can't judge what happened, Gabe, back in March. That's all done and gone. But still, I think like the Rangers against Carolina. Rangers, man, last couple of years, they've dominated Carolina. And I like many of the underdogs outside of maybe Montreal. I don't like them against Pittsburgh, mainly because I don't know who's healthy on Montreal enough to play.
Yeah, no, that's the little thing with the NHL. The league that created lower and upper body injury now won't tell us who has COVID. Oh, so if I think we'll be able to figure it out when, like, seven guys don't show up, right, one night. I won't have to be a doctor to figure it out. Thank you very much, George Kurtz, big man on campus. Join us at level two. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.